Good morning. Today is Tuesday, 13th of April. Joining us this morning, Mr. Greg Foster.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
It's doing well. It's getting, sun's coming out. It's, you know.
I know. It's just kind of feeling signs of normal.
I know. Exactly. And it's, you know, I was out at lunch yesterday walking and I said, you know what? I'm getting a little too warm. I take my jacket off. And that's been a while, you know, doing that. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spring in Humboldt. It's hard to beat.
Yeah. Normal spring.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
I could do without the wind, but.
I could do without the mask. Oh. I don't mind the wind.
You look better with it, though.
Yeah. Well, some say the bag is an upgrade.
Yeah, there you go. We'll take a vote.
Remember how the Saints used to have the
bags?
Oh, yeah.
Or the unknown comic.
The Aints.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, are you ready for our question?
Fire away.
All right. Why do chefs wear those tall, funny hats?
Well, because you had that little rat up there that I saw the movie. I know the answer.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
First of all, health regulations in most states require that chefs in public food establishments wear hats of some sort to keep their hair from falling.
Well, yeah.
Chefs have chosen hats that are tall and ballooned at the top because this design allowed air to circulate around the scalp and help keep it cool in the kitchens where temperatures can get really hot. The hats are usually white because undyed, or white fabric, is considered more sanitary than colored.
Okay, that makes sense, actually, from a science perspective.
Wouldn't it be weird if you saw one, like, with Hawaiian fabric?
Yeah, exactly. Now, I spent more than a few days in a kitchen in college working in the back and in restaurants.
That must have been a kick in the pants.
Yes and no. I mean, it was fun, but
to see the backside and participate and to get that
all the
foundational development.
Exactly. I enjoyed it to the point where I finally said, you know, this is why I'm in college, though. I don't want to be in the dishwasher the rest of my life.
Oh, well, you're okay. You can step away from the sink.
Yeah, exactly.
But one of the things that I have always found intriguing with any industry, food particularly, are the processes.
Yeah.
You know, some people have foot traffic. No, it's not foot traffic. It's the processes and the coordination. And is it something that's been finely honed over the years, or is it hodgepodge and you look at it and you see bottlenecks and you get frustrated by seeing those things that really are clogging it up and they can make it so much easier?
You know, and people, one of the things I learned, and I think this is, helps in a more broad perspective is, you know, I started off as a dishwasher and that's not an easy job, quite honestly, you know, and because...
Creative.
Huh?
Not creative, but...
It could be creative, though, because you're always trying to figure out ways to be more efficient in what you're doing. Because, you know, especially in a busy place, you're having to constantly supply cups, glasses, everything else. And, of course, you've got to do it all in a... And, you know, when I did it 30 years ago, the health regulations weren't even as... I mean, we had them, obviously, but they weren't even as strict as they are now. And so you had to make sure everything was done just right, and it was a hard job, quite honestly, physically hard. But you know, you had to be smart about, like, you know, prioritizing your tasks to what was going on out front. And so and you couldn't stop. You know, it was like, okay, we're caught up on the bus tubs, get over to the sink and start on the pans and back over. You know, it was tough. It was tough.
Hopefully, it was that busy.
Yes. No, I worked at a restaurant that no longer exists called The Trees in Garberville, and it burned down 25, 30 years ago. And we did a great, you know, we did a breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and it was always pretty busy. And then I worked at the faculty club at UC Davis, and so we did a lunch on the weekdays and then banquets and catered events.
Now, that's got to be a whole different dynamic.
Hey, you try to plate... You know, 300 people in 20 minutes, 15 minutes. It was, you know, we would set up this huge conveyor and everybody, you know, all the back and the servers would be coming in with the big trays and we'd have to throw six plates on and off they go. And, yeah, people don't want to wait. And you have 300, 400 people out there You had to go just right. And it was amazing to watch. It was just, you know, this whole staging. And then it's like, ready, go. And it was just boom.
No cheating. So with that knowledge, how have you been able to translate that with the various food-related establishments that you're working with now? I mean, I would imagine that you'd be able to see if somebody had forgotten something in their game plan.
Yeah, right.
Wait a minute. Boom, 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 boom. You know, I think it would be probably comparable to me looking at somebody doing a pro forma for radio.
Right, right.
And they forget the transmitter.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's pretty glaring right there.
I think that might be something that you can utilize as a resource to help some of these folks out. And then you're adding to that pool of knowledge every week as you're bringing in different industries.
Oh, sure. And that does help. And the other thing that helps in my business, and I've been doing it long enough now, is I've worked with – I learn – every time I do a loan and work with a business, I learn so much more about that business. You know, we go in and walk through with them and talk with them. They make mistakes. They explain what they are. We learn about it. And then we can apply that to our thinking when a loan proposal comes, and we can help folks get through that. And
now, the proposal writing itself, I would think, is pretty daunting for somebody who is unfamiliar with the process.
Right.
Who is laying it all out on the line. Who may have 90% knowledge.
Right.
And by golly, we've got this thing called a calendar ticking, and we need to get this thing rolling.
Right, right.
You mix those all together. How nerve-wracking is it? Not for you, because you go home at night and you sleep.
Yeah, well, for me, yes and no.
Is going, okay, how do we push this across the finish line and get this thing going?
Right. You know, it's we require a business plan when someone comes in, and you know, I'm not looking for a work of art, right? I'm looking
measured by the pounds,
right? No, I'm looking for the thinking, you know, the critical thinking and understanding. And you know, a lot of people come in and they say, well, you know, I want to start my own business because I want to be my own boss. And I said, okay,
wrong.
You know, that's not why you want to do it, because you know, you're going to work as hard as you've ever had in your life. And what's really important is that you've thought through and you've put the work in. If someone comes in and says, I don't want to do all that work. I don't want to have the time to do it. And I said, well, then you don't have a time to own a business.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster. Greg, so for folks that are seeing opportunities now, and you can tell that there are those businesses in this last 12 months who have, I guess capitalized would be the right word, on the opportunities that have been presented, and there are those that are not.
Right.
I think everybody has the commonality of frustration, but some let it debilitate and others kind of used it and saw opportunity.
Right, right.
When you're looking at some of these business plans or somebody who wants to chase their dream, or at least they think they do when they come in the door.
Right, right.
Creativity has got to be in there, or the ability to adjust or pivot, I think, is it, you know.
The operative
word.
It's
weird how basketball has gotten into the lexicon, right. But yeah, to be able to pivot and go in a different direction if circumstances necessitate.
Right, right.
Is that something that's measurable, or is that something that is just either school of hard knocks, or...
You know, it's interesting. Friday, Congressman Huffman was here, and we visited three of the businesses that REDEC works with.
What do you say about Last Chance?
We didn't talk about Last Chance. We were doing a tour.
Oh, no, 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 no. There's from point A to point B. You had time. You spaced.
Well, no, we were walking. I wasn't in the car with him. We were walking into the businesses. Okay. So we visited Dick Taylor Chocolate, the Inn at Second and C, and Six Rivers Brewery, three Redeck customers. And
okay, now how did you get to Six Rivers from Old Town, if not by car?
I drove my car, and he was in his car with John Driscoll.
That was the issue. Okay, yeah, they didn't want you in the car.
Because they were going somewhere else, and I was heading back.
Okay,
to
fine.
But anyway, and you know, when they contacted us and said they wanted to visit some businesses, I thought about, we have a lot of great businesses in our portfolio, but these three I think were really interesting. Like, for example, the Eagle House and Fast Declines, you know, the shutdown hit them hard, obviously, from the revenue side, but they have an older building and they had plans, and they said, okay, we're going to take this opportunity. They used, you know, some of the PPP money and everything that people talk about to invest in fixing up their kitchen, you know, redoing some of the, you know, making more of a dining area. And so they really invested in their facility. And one of the owners was saying to me, he said, you know, I mean, the silver lining to this was these are all things we wanted to do, but we could never shut down long enough to get it done. So they were able to take that time. Now, that's not to say that obviously they were hurt, you know, revenue wise, and they had laid
people off.
They must
have had some resources on the side, though, to be able to
do that. And they used, you know, the government help that came in the last year to do that. You know, Dick Taylor Chocolate, which, you know, is building this new beautiful facility.
That seems to be the new one on the top of the mountain.
Yeah. And, you know, we helped them with the purchase of that building. And, you know, it was interesting to see how they did through the pandemic. It was, you know, when it started, they were, of course, concerned. But by July or so, they said, you know, we're doing really well. Yeah, people are staying home eating chocolate, I guess. And they are an amazing product and amazing folks. And then our third was going up to Six Rivers Brewery. And they really, you know, Meredith and Talia up there are very creative and work really hard. And, you know, they moved outside and they did things like let people have tailgates, parties in their parking lot, and they can get stuff from inside. And then they brought Loco Fish Company, which is the fish trailer. They took fish off their menu. Loco took, you know, terrestrial creatures off their menu, and they're working together. And they now have built a nice new patio out there. And then they have a system all set up inside for inside dining. It was amazing to watch. And now what's great is these folks are hiring as they, you know, they start to get reopened.
If they can find folks.
Well, and, you know, that's going to be one of our biggest topics in the next 6 months, if not even now, but certainly in a year or so, is going to be another big shortage of labor up here.
Particularly with the feds doing the compensation levels as high as it is. You know, I've got buddies in the Midwest, as you're aware. You know, their state minimum wage is $6, and these guys $7, $8, somewhere in that neighborhood, and that's right. Kind of what the local will handle. And now these folks are, you know, throwing money down, and they can't.
Right.
Literally, they got people going on unemployment, not because they were fired or laid off. They just see more revenue potential.
Well, and there's that, and you know, but that will end, right? That's going to end. The
and then they'll be shock and awe across the board.
Right, and I think even with the end of that, if that is having an effect here, I still think we're going to be back to where we were prior to the pandemic when we had, you know.
What do you think about the $15 minimum wage? Is that going to be a deal breaker for a lot of folks?
I don't think so. And here's why. It goes to that creativity part, right? And so you're going to, as a business owner, you're going to figure out a way to make it work, right? If you're good. You know, it can be tough for small businesses, quite honestly.
Well, that's what I would say, because labor costs, you got X amount. Whatever it is, you've got it there. And if you automate, if you reduce costs, you do what you can. You probably have already done that to make it through this window. And now here comes an increase. You know, can you do it with one less person? Do you have to invest $20,000 to save one position?
Right.
And it'll take you a recovery of 2 or 3 years. I mean, those are pretty.
I mean, we were forced to be really creative in the last year, and and that's not a bad thing, right? Kind of shocking the system, make you really. I mean, we had to do the same thing. I mean, we had a 1 day, 2 day notice, and we had to figure out how to run Redeck from our homes.
Yeah, no kidding. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Market, Baywood Golf and Country Club, Humble Bay Bistro, and Randall Sand and Gravel.
My goodness, that's a long list.
There's one I forgot.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we have now...
Time to make some do some make goods.
Hit saturation. CDH Painting. Got it.
No, you said that.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, well. I'll figure it out tomorrow.
Oh, well. Yeah, figure it out.
Greg, as you're looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, perception is reality.
Right.
Okay. So we have now got a different color. And boy, it feels like freedom.
Yeah.
And there's still some of the restrictions, obviously, that are in place.
Right.
We still have got those that do and those that don't.
Right.
Those that freak and those that don't. Okay. But there's signs of bubbling going on. You mentioned the chocolate guys.
Right.
Okay. That's cool. The airplanes.
The aircraft. We're going to have more capacity this summer than we've ever had in our history at the
airport. Would make sense considering how this summer's supposed to go.
Right.
Okay, and it's a lot of them are the shorts. I mean, to have a run to Santa Rosa is cool. I mean, all of a sudden...
We don't have one, but it'd be nice.
How do we pronounce it?
Avalo. Burbank.
They don't fly into Santa Rosa?
Oh, they do. Yeah, I'm sorry. They're going to do from Burbank to Santa Rosa.
Oh, they don't go McKinleyville to Santa Rosa?
No.
I was saying, boy, what a neat thing. Totally avoid the Bay Area. They've got, what, 6 or 7 different carriers down there?
Yeah.
Boom, and now you're gone, and you don't have to monkey with anybody.
Yeah, this Avalo is interesting. They're doing so it was started by one of the co-founders of Allegiant Airlines, and Allegiant people know pretty well. And it started off as a bring folks from smaller airports to Las Vegas airline, right? And so it's not really a hub and spoke. In as much as what we call origin and destination, their goal was to bring people to Las Vegas, and the planes came back every night to Las Vegas. So you aren't overnighting crews, you aren't overnighting aircraft and everything else.
And you're playing with people who have got a lot of money.
And what's really cool about both them and talking to them and working with them, and then talking and working with the American for Phoenix. So I've been doing this airline recruiting now 18 years, believe it or not. And the model always up until these most recent were Humboldt County as an origin, with Humboldt County being a destination, kind of a secondary benefit, right? And so in other words, they wanted our people flying somewhere else and, through their hub network. Both American and especially Avalo have been talking about and promoting us as a destination. So they're talking about, if you go to their website at Avalo, it's talking about fly to these wonderful destinations from Southern California cheap.
So is Burbank their headquarters?
They're headquartered in Houston, but that's their first airport.
So everything's out of Burbank.
Right now. Yeah. And they're going to grow, obviously, but So they're, you know, they added us and Redding and Santa Rosa and Medford.
So to get to Santa Rosa, we got to go to Burbank and then come
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah. Might as well just drive.
Or Eugene or any.
Right. And Bozeman. Yeah. You know, they've added all these. So if you look at the route map, and they're only doing four, they're doing 4 days a week here. And so their whole goal is to fly people here. And these would be leisure travelers, most likely, you know, most predominantly because it's a low cost airline. And so that was a really interesting change.
You get seats, though, right?
Hmm?
You do get seats?
Yeah, of course.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, you say low cost. I mean,
yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
there are jokes and some realities.
You want your own? Yeah,
go
right.
back some decades. And, yeah.
yeah, exactly. Oxygen costs extra.
Right.
Yeah. No. It's you know it is what it is, and
but it's more, and that's cool.
Yeah, it's a lot more. Well, you think about it, we would have you know. When United used to fly here, the EMB-120s, the little turboprops, 30-seaters, right? If they had 8 departures a day, that was 240 seats. One of the Avalo jets is 189. So, and then we're adding 7, you know, the Phoenix is 70 seats. The LAX and San Francisco are flying mostly 70 seats. And then Denver, when it comes back, which we expect in June, will be also 70 seats. So we're looking at unprecedented capacity going through that airport. And quite honestly, you know, talking to Cody, we're like, our airport's too small.
That's what I was going to ask you, is the infrastructure up at the airport, and parking's always been a challenge.
Yeah.
Circulation there is tough. You know, there's certainly choke times.
Yeah.
Rental cars, it's still not, you know, having the food.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, why don't you have, like, the fish guys pull their trailer up and set up there?
I mean, right, yeah. No, there's a lot of work that needs to be done there. And part of it's just because of neglect over the years, but mostly because of this unprecedented amount of air travel we're going to have.
You can drop that word from your vocabulary.
What? Air travel?
No. Unprecedented.
Unprecedented. Yeah, this has been a year.
I like the old way. It's never happened before.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I understand what that means. Yeah,
yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, sorry to use those.
Yeah, you realize who
multi-syllable
to
words.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I kind of get lost in the weeds.
But and we need to act fast, right? And that's a particular challenge. I'm actually.
Yeah, visitors are coming.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, May 19th, Avalo starts. June 3rd is when. Phoenix starts, and again, we expect Denver to start right around then too. You know, they haven't confirmed that yet, but you know, all indications are pretty strong. And you know, the county board of supervisors fast tracked the restaurant rebuild, what, 6-7 years ago. Still hasn't started, but so
are the funds there to be able to start to rip and tear?
Oh, you know, we could spend hours on this topic. You know, quite honestly, I think it's time that our aviation system has grown up big enough and it's becoming even more complicated and with more travel. And just the way the whole business model of airports has changed, I really think it's time that we strongly consider creating an airport authority. The county can retain ownership. But, you know, Crescent City does that. They have an airport authority. So you have a structure and a system and a board that is solely focused on the aviation. And, you know, the board of supervisors has a huge, you know, number of things they have to worry about. And the county systems have a lot of things they have to worry about. And so, but airlines and airports, you know, this stuff happens really fast.
It may take a long time. But it happens fast.
Takes a lot of conversation, and then when it happens, boom, it happens. And then they say, "Well, yeah, we're going to be delivering this many people."
You're
going to
need more
state.
Chairs up there.
Exactly.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:44.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster. Greg, the color designation, whatever it is that we are into, are we yellow or are we orange?
Orange.
Okay. As we look at some of the things that we've talked about, the businesses that are having the challenges, the upcoming tourist season, some of the challenges at the airport, or growth at the airport.
Right.
How restricted are any of those things because of this color designation?
Well, you know, it's still a drag, obviously. I mean, drag. I mean, I guess you can take that two ways, right? A drag, like, it's slowing us down, or a drag is like, bummer. But, you know, we're heading in the right direction, and the governor and, you know, saying that by June 15th, that whole, those restrictions could
be
lifted.
It's funny how we got that date, huh?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, as people need to get vaccinated, and, you know, we get those vaccination rates up, we're in, you know, we can move on. You know, what I'm hearing, you know, right now is people are coming
come hell summer. Or high water, they're coming.
They're
yeah.
coming.
So we got,
and
ready.
We saw that last summer, right? I mean, it was
in the fall, second right. half in the fall.
We were yellow, yeah. and we were one of, you know, like two or three counties, maybe four, I don't know, but counties in the entire state that were yellow. I said our best tourism ad that we had was this big map.
They that put stupid the, map with the
yeah, yellow colors. Right yeah. up in the corner. And it's like everybody is like all yeah. the states, you know, red or purple. And here's this little yellow. And boy, everyone's like, we're going there.
Right.
And that was great for us. And so, you know, talking to people in the lodging industry and some of the other, you know, the tourist based businesses now, they're like, you know, we're seeing bookings all the way out to September already. And,
yeah.
And,
yeah, it's going to be a robust is what I think everybody.
And we need to be ready.
But can we handle it? And that, I guess.
Well, we'll find out, you know.
The question I've got, you know, okay, right. So we've got the infrastructure, they can land. Okay, are there going to be cars that they can rent?
No, well, so there's
okay, you know, or do we have shuttle, but.
We need all that. We need all that. And if we had an airport authority, you know, they could be really focused on that and looking at and developing business opportunities for people to
serve
these airports.
So who does the? I mean, somebody's got to be paying attention to it. I mean, isn't that part of what Cody's doing, or is he kind of more on
well,
the other
you
side?
You know, Cody's primary job is to make sure that planes get in and out safely, and you know, and he also has six airports, right? He's got all the general aviation
right.
airports.
So the other is another ring out.
So you got to think about airports really as almost like a big real estate entity, right? And so managing a big piece of property, and it's a multi-use facility, right? So it's centered around this planes coming in and out. But if you look at, and you know, there's whole conferences and you know, trainings on the business of airports. Almost nothing, you know, the airport obviously has its own staff. But if you look at a lot of the airports, you know, all the businesses are, you know, they're lessees or licensees. Ground crew is, you know, related to the airlines. The airlines are tenants. You know, you regulate the ground transportation and all that. But most all that is a, it's a big management scheme, but that's not run by the airport proper. And this is where I think
it's more like the infrastructure,
right.
The skeleton,
right?
Set up.
I mean, your janitorial is done by somebody. Even at you know, San Francisco doesn't even those aren't TSA employees. That's a contractor who's doing TSA there, which is you know, a model that was allowed. So it's a completely different way to look at and a much more efficient and sort of private sector entrepreneurial way to look at these airports. But you absolutely have to use that if you want your airport to be successful. We're not the old model, which we're kind of under still, just doesn't work anymore.
I'm sure we'll be hearing more.
I might have opinions.
As things continue. Thanks for coming by, bud.
All right.
See everybody tomorrow.